Next on BYUSN, one college football writer believes BYU football will overachieve their 7.5 win total expectation. What do we believe overachieving looks like for the Cougars in 2025? After an impressive showing at the 2025 NBA Draft Combine, where is Yegor Demons projected to land? And do we like the fit? Track and field stars James Corrigan and Megan Hunter are in studio to recap winning Big 12 titles. In baseball, we're in the final spot in the Big 12 tournament. Do the Batcats need to win a game in Arlington, or is making the tournament enough? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU, Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, May 19th. I'm Jerem Jordan. In case you missed it this morning, Brigham Young University announced, Spencer, that the old Provo High is the location of the new BYU School of Medicine building. We didn't know what they were going to use Provo High for, but here we go. I assume they're going to tear down the old high school with so many memories and that bulldog defense. You and I called a lot of Provo High School basketball games when we were at BYU together. Wow. Now it's the med school, which would be pretty cool.
It didn't feel like that long ago that Tyler Hawes and Lone Peak High School were taking on Chris and Kyle Collinsworth. Yes. And Brandon Davies.
Yes. Some fun battles back in the day with Provo and Lone Peak. And we didn't know at the time, in covering TIFU too, we covered Provo and TIFU specifically.
Yeah.
And we cover, you know, you mentioned Kyle and Brandon. It was Mike Alisa and the Kafusis and Chris Badger and all these guys at TIFU. We ended up hanging out with them for another like 6 years. They go on missions. They play 4 years at BYU. It's pretty fun, man. But exciting times for the BYU School of Medicine. The site will be over there at Provo High. I assume they're going to keep the track and the football field and everything over there, because that's
knows?
A nice kind of auxiliary spot. But yeah, the building's going to be over there.
Does the medical staff need a place to go run a few laps?
just get some laps in.
I got to do something.
Well, I do like having an alternate small little stadium over there. I think it should be kept. We don't know all the details, but we know the School of Medicine will be over there, which is awesome.
BYU has owned that property for a long time, almost a decade. They bought it.
It hasn't been that long.
It just sat there for a really long time. We wondered, like, is it going to become a second indoor practice facility? It's now the medical school.
They still have space for that, maybe. Maybe they don't. Medical stuff requires way more space than I know.
Progress, advancement, all good things. So very exciting news for BYU. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Imagine that their confidence just won't be through the roof.
If BYU has one of the easiest Power Four schedules, why 7.5?
I think 7.5 right now, I wouldn't get mad at the prognosticators. I would see that as an opportunity to exceed expectations.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. We spent a lot of time late last week talking about BYU's, in our opinion, controversial projection of 7.5 wins as an over-under by Circus Sports. Well, Bruce Feldman, college football insider and expert, has BYU football among his best bets to exceed their win total projection of 7.5.
What a hot take.
Here is what he had to say specifically about the Cougars. Quote, "The Cougars have an experienced quarterback in Jake Retzlaff. There's good skill talent around him, such as running back LJ Martin and receivers Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston. Tight end Carson Ryan should be a terrific addition. They'll have one of the best linebacker groups in the country, led by Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker." Wow. He continues, "They have 6 games they'll have a clear advantage in: Portland State, Stanford, ECU, Arizona, Cincinnati, and UCF. They go to Boulder to face a Colorado team they smashed in the Alamo Bowl. Beyond that, they have home games against West Virginia, TCU, and Utah. Trips to Iowa State and Texas Tech won't be easy." That's where Bruce Feldman ends the quote for now. He feels like BYU will overachieve expectations. Of all the games he just listed, he sees, okay, BYU's winning 8+. In your opinion, what would overachieving look like for BYU if Feldman has BYU as overachieving at maybe 8 wins?
To me, this has nothing to do with the 7.5 number, which is fun fodder for us in May, of course. It has everything to do with sort of what are the goals of BYU football. Last year, they felt like, hey, we should have been in the Big 12 title game, and then we felt like we should have made the playoff. Mm. So go to the Big 12 title game and go to the playoff certainly feel like the goals. So I would say overachieving would be winning the Big 12 championship and then winning a playoff game. That feels pretty ambitious, because the sky's the limit for this team right now in terms of BYU football and where it could go. We haven't said these kind of things the last couple of years. In men's hoops, it's even higher. We're saying, hey, maybe Final Four, right? And if you're in the Final Four, Spence, you can win the Natty. You're right there, right? If you're in the playoff, can you win the national championship in football? That's a little harder. You got to win three games, not just like two. And football certainly feels like they're on a track to compete at a level they have not yet. So that's what I think, winning the Big 12 title and going to the playoff and winning a game in the playoff.
The next step for BYU football clearly is to get to the Big 12 championship game, right? Like, that's the next clear indicative step of progress. But if BYU doesn't win that game, will we sit here and be like, ah, that was a disappointment? Or will we be like, well, they were projected to win 7.5 games. They got back to the Big 12, or they were in the race for a Big 12 title. They got to the championship game, but lost.
Is this now, the low end of the spectrum, though? And we're like, well, hey, they got 8, therefore they overachieved. No. Not based on last year and who they have coming back.
You can't call overachieving 8 wins or, frankly, even 9 wins.
No. No. And let me tell you my realistic sort of goal for BYU football this year. It's to win 10-plus games again. To be in the hunt again.
If you win 10 games, I think they'll be in Dallas for the Big 12 championship game.
And maybe they're not. Maybe they're 7-2 in league and they lost a tiebreaker. I don't know.
Again?
Last year was weird. If BYU wins 10 or more games in a Power 4 league for a second consecutive year, we should be ecstatic.
100%.
We really should. It's not Big 12 championship game robust. Here's why. There's too many teams in the league and tiebreakers to really sort of hold this team to the same standard that maybe they were previously. Because if there were 12 teams, Spence, in the league, and now they don't make the title game, well, hey, there aren't as many tiebreakers, more head-to-head kind of thing. There's 16 teams. You just lose on arbitrary tiebreakers sometimes. You lost to the wrong team, or the right team won a game or whatever.
It was when BYU lost this time around. Like, because they were late in the season losses.
Well, in the tiebreakers, that had nothing to do with it. Timing.
True. I'm talking about the college football playoff. Like, they just dropped like a rock in water.
Well, and the Big 12 wasn't getting the love to get a second team. They just weren't. The ACC barely got one because that team was a front runner and had this crazy comeback in SMU and then lost in, was it OT? So that one was like the ideal scenario for the ACC. So win 10 or more again. Now we're talking.
Is that overachieving?
Depends who you ask. Because to me, like, the goal is 10. So maybe if you go 11 again, you're like, hey, again 11? Let's go.
My expectation is 9 regular season wins. So by the definition of it, if BYU wins 10 in the regular season, then yes.
Where'd they get the 10?
They are overachieving.
Or the bowl game.
There are different levels of overachieving, clearly.
Yeah.
BYU blew the roof open last year by overachieving and hitting 11 wins after an Alamo Bowl victory when they were projected to win 4.5.
Good pun, because they were in a dome. I appreciate that. I like that.
They literally...
I was like, when did they have a roof?
The actual last game against Colorado. So here's my question. If BYU, let's just paint this hypothetical scenario. If BYU gets to a Big 12 championship game and they lose, but they have been benefiting all year long from a well-positioned early start in the AP rankings.
And then subsequent, they have to be 7-8, 9-0 probably.
So they've
to stay up there, right?
Been floating between number 6 and number 14 all year, not just midway to the latter part of the
that
year.
That means you have one loss going into like late November.
You've been in the conversation.
Yes.
Can BYU do what SMU did last year, which is hey, you have one regular season loss, you lose in your conference championship game, but still go to the college football playoff?
Yes.
With the pole position that we expect BYU to have, that feels way higher of a possibility than last year.
Long live journalism. The horse. That horse was projected to win the Kentucky
Derby. Journalism making a comeback!
Journalism is back! Print the papers! Get the paper boys back! No, absolutely. Why not? It depends when you lose, how you lose, who you lose to. All of that matters. Not all losses are created equal. Yeah, and this is exciting. We're talking about BYU with a lot of pub And I've mentioned this before, BYU needs to respond. They need to handle success. Hey, won 11 games last year. What are you going to do now? They don't have to top it for me. They have to do it again. Certainly, if you top it, that's great. Obviously, we would all love that. But do it again.
Win 10.
Yeah. Be in the hunt for a Big 12 title. Win a meaningful game. What does that look like? That could be Alamo Bowl type. Obviously, you get used to a certain something and you want more. Recall 06, 7, 8, 9, Spence. BYU in 05 goes 6-6. They go 11-2 in 06. It's like, whoa, we're back. We're back, baby. 07, 11-2 with a new crew. Whoa, handled success. Did it again. 08, 10-3. Everyone was like, what a disappointment. Quest for perfection. You get used to something and you want more. I don't think we're at that point yet. It was one season. Keep it going.
BYU has some checkpoints in the schedule, in my opinion. And by checkpoints, I mean, if you do this, okay, you're in the right position. You got to go 3-0 in non-conference.
100%. You can't lose to Portland State, Stanford, or UCU. No.
Then BYU has to be 5-1 after six games. 2-1 to open up Big 12 play.
What's the most likely loss if they're 5-1?
I have no idea. What is
West
Colorado? What in the world is Colorado this year?
Not as good as last year.
Arizona, we don't think is going to be great. Like, BYU has a great chance to start, at worst, 5-1.
With Utah coming to Provo.
And then you are still nationally relevant. Then you're ranked, but you get Utah at home.
Dude, that four-game stretch right there of Utah at Iowa State, at
Brutal.
Texas Tech.
And then TCU.
TCU. That's tough. Tough. That four-game stretch probably will define the season.
Can you go 6-0 and then, with that four-game stretch, piece together 3-1 so that you're 9-1
now you're
with two games left.
You're at the forefront of the Big 12 conversation. Of you can't lose again, probably.
Yes.
With tiebreakers. Again, I'm not going to complain too much about too many teams in the league because BYU benefited from teams leaving and more getting invited. So we can't sit here and complain too much. I will never complain about Texas and Oklahoma ever because they're the reason BYU is in the league. So I tip the cap.
Okay. So meaning you'll never go horns down?
I will go horns down. I'll be like, ha ha. But I applaud what they mean to BYU athletics historically. They had to leave. They had to be so good they got invited to the SEC.
It was the initial huge domino.
Otherwise, BYU's not in the league.
Everything rolling.
Like, maybe they are now. I don't know.
But
like initially,
rolling.
That was required. It didn't happen in 16. They didn't get the invite.
Do you want to thank?
Thank you, Texas and Oklahoma.
Thank the Pac-12 for any reason?
No. They could have invited BYU for decades and chose not to. Yeah. Perhaps the demise of the Pac-12 was not having BYU.
Here's the low-hanging fruit,
Jeremy. I'm not saying it's all BYU, but it certainly would have helped maybe sustain something.
I dangle that Pac-12 in front of you.
I know. I love the – dude, the Pac-10 growing up was my league, man.
Great.
I lived in Pac-10 country. Yeah. I loved it.
It was great until it wasn't. Our question of the day.
And I'm not saying BYU would have saved the league. I just think it would have helped, yeah.
In your opinion, what would overachieving look like for BYU football in 2025? We just discussed several levels of overachieving.
A lot of goodness there.
Okay? I mean, just one step above, 10 wins, get to the Big 12 title game?
Yeah.
Do you all want to go beyond that? At JFloyd314 on X says, I'd say a playoff appearance.
Wow.
Given that last year's team was one bad tiebreak away from making the conference title game.
Not even a loss, a bad tiebreak.
And this year's team will be more talented on paper. At least making the conference title game should be the expectation.
I'm not sure about the more talented on paper comment there. I think BYU was more talented on paper last year. We don't know about some guys this year. The only super proven dude is Keanu Tanivasa. We're excited about Andrew Gentry, a guy that started a couple games at Michigan. Yeah. We think he's going to be really good.
No draft picks for BYU this year.
But no draft picks. I don't know. I think that was a pretty talented team on paper. Like, it's hard to lose Etienne.
Tyler Batty.
Lassiter.
Mm-hmm. Keelan Marion in the transfer portal.
Collins and Robinson. Like, that's a lot of talent right there.
I know.
That's a lot of talent. Again, it's not a popular opinion, but I think BYU didn't add more than they lost as of now. But when we play it out, you're going to be like, oh, Siali Asara ended up being really good. Maybe he was better than Harrison Tagger. Like, right now.
Was the offensive line better?
Right. Right. It was a pretty good O-line. Connor Payne, so on and so forth. Like, right now, it's a net negative to me. But let's play the games, then we really
know. Or the defensive line, primarily.
Oh, defensive line, you lose all of them? You can't be like, we're better and we lost all the starters. What? No.
We will see.
Like, yeah. Count a ton of us. It's pretty good, though. Pretty good.
Indeed. Yeah. At Eric Evanson, 22 on X, answers, overachieving, winning a playoff game. But I contend there is way more probability of them underachieving this year. Well, what is underachieving? It all depends on your own personal expectations. If you expect BYU to be in position
to go to the playoff and they
win
don't.
A playoff game?
Yeah. It's hard to win.
I just want BYU to get to the Big 12 championship game. And then to do that, they got to win 10 games.
And then let's see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of where I am. Yeah. At Lilesh on X, answers 11-2, including winning the conference championship game. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram if you'd like to join the overachieving conversation.
So I like that because then there's another, at least one more game after that. Mm. So the record would be, we may, like, if things go really, really well for BYU, we're talking about 14 or 15 games this year.
Can they get to a 14th game?
Can they get
to
a 14th
play
game?
A 14th
that means
you
made
played
the, playoff.
The Big 12 championship game and you made the playoff.
Oh, right. Because at large, it'd just be the straight up 13. Okay. BYU point guard Yegor Demon featured as the number 11 overall pick to the Trailblazers in ESPN's Jonathan Givony's post-NBA Combine mock draft. Do you like 11th to the Blazers for Mr. Demon?
There are two reasons I like this. My lucky number is 11. So there's that, which means absolutely nothing. And
is
I love
Taylor
that
Taylor Swift 11 as well?
I have no idea. Is that her lucky number?
Is that what it was? Is that what it is?
No idea.
11? Anybody?
Yeah. 11's my number.
Nobody.
What a word. No junior Swift. High basketball, no all that
Ashton,
stuff.
Ashton, nothing?
High school
Swift,
basketball.
11? She doesn't love 11?
Okay, the Portland Trailblazers at number 11. I like that it's a lottery selection.
Yeah.
It would be BYU's third ever lottery pick in the history of the program. Third ever.
85 to now. Right?
That's crazy. Yeah, the lottery was introduced in 85.
Yeah. Before that, there were only like 10 or 15.
It's Sean Bradley and Jimmer Fredette. That's it.
Wait, Hoffa?
Oh, sorry, Hoffa. Three. So there have been three ever. This will be the fourth. Yeah.
Yes, that's it, though. Not enough.
Three.
We go
off at eight.
Let's go back to back here with AJ.
So I like that it's a lottery, but I don't like I just don't like the Blazers as a rebuilding team.
Oh, how dare you?
They're selling the team. It just has.
What does selling team have to do with it?
PTSD from the Sacramento Kings debacle, ownership and sales, and like who's the coach that they bring? Do they totally? Because they could draft Yegor and then totally. Send everyone away again. Like, yeah. Get rid of the entire staff. And yeah. They're offloading assets. Like, it's a full rebuild in Portland, which means I think Yegor would have to play too early. I don't want him to go to a place where he has to play now. I'd like to see him develop. If he's a G League guy for a year, awesome.
Oh, there's no way he's a G League guy. There's no way.
I don't know. Like, he could be.
Lottery picks. Yeah, if you go to the G League as a lottery pick, should you have been a lottery pick?
I don't agree with that. I think you can be a lottery pick and you can still develop. You can play for your team, but you can still play in the G League and bounce back and forth.
Right, but you're not that good if you're a two-way guy. Like
young. Yeah. He's really young. A couple of GMs last week said he's going to get his lunch money stolen for a year and he should expect to be a G League guy, which I don't have a problem with.
That's wild at number 11. It used to be that if you were in the lottery, you were good at basketball and you like were a backup and played a lot. Yeah. No, I like the Blazers pick. I really do. Because Rip City,
oh
baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. Rip City. Let's go. yeah, I would love it to the Blazers. I grew up loving the Blazers, you know. Blazers, Jazz, I'm content personally. But I just wanted to rep Clad Glad basically today. So there you go. Rip City!
Do you really like it, or did you just want to rep the jersey?
I just wanted to rep the jersey.
You don't really like it.
I don't
you
actually
just
like it.
The jersey.
I don't actually like it, but I love the jersey. Yeah, just an excuse to wear my Clyde Drexler jersey.
Okay. I would love Yegor to go to Houston at number 10, or even Brooklyn at number 8. I don't hate that fit either.
Brooklyn and the Blazers feel like they're both.
Brooklyn's not in tank mode. Like, their general manager's been very open about, like, we are not tanking. We are trying to get better now. We're trying to be a playoff team now.
Right, but I don't see it with them. So.
Okay, just don't go to Washington.
Well, there are a bunch of teams that I think would stink. Yeah.
No, New Orleans.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. No.
Rough.
Woof. Taysom's like, let me show you around.
Let's be honest. We'll be super happy for Yeager wherever he gets.
Wherever he goes, we're in it.
Yes.
We need the NBA League pass, I think, next year.
All right. With the Rip City jersey on for Jeremy.
There's only red that's acceptable, probably. BYU Hawaii Seasider red.
BYU baseball has earned the final spot in the Big 12 tournament after winning 2 out of 3 against Texas Tech. Nice. They clinched it on Friday night. Awesome. Is making the Big 12 tournament enough, or do they need to win a game in Arlington to call this, I don't know, a success?
No, it was a step forward. Certainly winning at least a game and competing there would be great, but proud of the guys for making the tournament this year.
I think it's, if we're speaking of overachieving, I mean, a month ago, I did not think that this team was going to figure it out and make the Big 12 tournament because they were in a bad place with tie breaks, having lost to Utah and UCF in series.
Again, too many teams in the league love a good tie break, huh?
It just didn't look good, but they figured it out. Yeah, so congratulations to BYU baseball. I would like to see them win a game in Arlington. I would love it. They get Arizona State, which is a tough draw because Arizona State at one point, a couple of weeks ago, was in position to win league.
Well,
and now they're the 5 seed.
Walter Cronkite School of Journalism versus BYU's lauded School of Journalism. So we shall see on the diamond and on TV. Where's that ASU TV
at? Let's go back, Cats.
12 seed BYU baseball plays 5 seed Arizona State, as mentioned, in the first round of the Big 12 tournament Wednesday morning at Globe Life Field. One time I saw Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer in the same concert.
That's an incredible
at Globe
concert.
Life Field. It was awesome.
An incredible concert.
Coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN Plus coming up Wednesday morning.
After the break, Olympian and Big 12 champion James Corrigan of BYU Track and Field is back in Studio B to recap winning not one, but 2 Big 12 titles this weekend. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
James Corrigan is that Big 12 champion.
Win as much as I can through nationals and every opportunity I get from here on out with championship racing. That's just the goal.
Corrigan, he is flying.
Can we just call BYU a steeplechase school?
I think so.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is the man of the moment and the man of that highlight you just saw, James Corrigan, multi-champion from the Big 12 championships this weekend. Hey, how does it feel to win 2 championships in the same meet, James?
Oh, it feels great. I feel like, you know, if you're entered into events, you're telling yourself, you know, you go to win, especially at a thing like conference, you know, it's for the glory for sure, you know. It doesn't matter about time. It doesn't matter about anything but getting your team points. And so showing up on the line, that's always the goal, but doing it is pretty surreal.
Steeplechase in the 5K specifically.
And then you won the most points of anyone, right?
Yeah, that
of
was
any
a super
male
big
at
honor.
The championships?
Yeah, yeah.
Normally so like three to, things you get?
Yeah, I felt very lucky. Normally that goes to a sprinter because they can double back in the 1, the 2, and yeah. Relay. And so to know that as a distance guy, I was strong enough to do that was pretty cool.
Which of those 3 things did you like the most?
Ah, man.
Because you go back-to-back on steeple, which is pretty
cool. Yeah, I definitely, like, that's like my bread-and-butter event. Yep. And if anything, it was more relief crossing the line. So I was like, ooh, you know, you're the one with the target on your back.
As an Olympian, are you like, oh, man, I got a rep here. Like,
yeah, it's true.
Everyone knows me.
It scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So it was more relief crossing the line. I feel like there's a stark difference in the videos of me crossing the line of the steeple. And I do a very reserved little number one. And then, like, for the 5K, I'm just
Was
super...
the 5K the pose? Is
oh,
that what
yeah.
I saw?
Yeah. I hit him with the...
I saw that.
I think it was pretty fun.
Was that a preconceived thought? You're like, if I win the 5K, I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
No,
play.
Actually, in my hotel room, I was like messing around. You got to think of some stuff, right? And so I had thought about, I was like, oh, what could I do as a celebration? You know, like, there's realistic. I'm coming in seed number one. You know, there's a chance I could win. I'm tired, but let's see what we can do. And so I was like, oh, I feel like I've seen some sprinters finish like that. That's kind of cool. And so I was like, maybe I'll do it. And then when you're crossing the line, like, you're not thinking of that. And then as like a couple seconds later, it kicked in. I was like, oh, yeah, this is my chance. And so I flashed the camera with a pose.
I love it.
That was great.
Well deserved. Last year, somehow, you were a second team All-American and an Olympian.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
I don't. Like, how are you not a first-team All-American? This man is a first-team All-American.
Well, you gotta give you room to go. Give yourself room to go up. Right?
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I love to talk to that point. It was my first time ever doing round running last year at the national championships. I mean, the
round running. What?
Just like having to turn around and running a prelim and a final within 2 days of
each
other.
Gotcha.
And so like round one, round two kind of thing. Mm. And I hadn't done that because the steeplechase and the 5K. Never have rounds. It's too long of a race. No one wants them to be run twice at a meet, you know? Like, they're like, get them over with. And so to do that for my first time at Nationals and just have a lot of inexperience there was pretty tough. And I just felt like I had lead on my legs, you know? I didn't know mentally how that would feel, how I'd have to handle that. And so then being able to, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, do the exact same thing at the Olympic trials and know and be on my recovery and get a bunch of tips, I was able to turn around and show what I could do. But this year, we're definitely going to improve upon that. Caught me off guard, but I'm ready this year.
So was 5K the next day or was it 2 days later?
It was the next day. So I did steeplechase the previous night and then 5K that following night.
Whoa, quick turnaround.
Yeah, so even better practice.
how do you do that? How do you sort of recover yet prepare yourself for that?
Yeah,
longer race.
Yeah, you have no idea how much confidence it gave me because I have more time than that for Nationals to turn around. You know, I have a day in between just to rest. But the biggest thing is as soon as you finish, you are, at least for me, I drink guzzle a whole thing of Powerade, a whole bottle of water. I've got a protein bar ready. And then we're out there trying to get the lactic out of our legs, get a cool down, immediately have someone bring you food. I'm hopping in the compression boots, playing some video games right after, you know, just to calm down. I'm just kidding. Well, not kidding.
What are you eating? What's the meal?
I had a Chipotle bowl, a nice chicken bowl. So nice. I had to get whatever was closest and then easiest to go down. So.
And then what video games did you play?
We played some Rocket League. Me and Landon were sitting in our boots playing Rocket League together. So
you earned it.
Something with speed in the name. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so as far as Nationals go, you just said a moment ago, you show up with the expectation you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You want to win for sure, but is there like a minimum threshold of success that you feel like is there for you in both of those races, or is it just like win or nothing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like it can be dangerous if you're setting all your expectations on something because if you don't get it, you're like, oh, like everything crumbles. I think what I like to focus on a lot is that I know that I have the capacity to win. I tell myself that all the time because I think it's important. But my actual performances, I don't really worry. Once I get in the race, I'm solely basing things off effort. If I give everything, I'll be super proud of that. And so I guess my minimum expectation is that I'm going to give everything I have and whatever that yields will be awesome, but I know I'm in shape to win. And so telling myself that opens the door but doesn't leave me hopeless after if I get second or something. Hope that makes sense.
Because the all or nothing idea, you know, we talk about process based and it's like, well, what if on that day someone was, you do your best and that's good enough most of the time. What does winning a Big 12 title mean to you? Because certainly you've been to the Olympics. Being at the NCAAs is kind of the end game. But winning the conference championship in this league now in year two, and you've done it back to back in the steeple and now the 5K and now the points. What did that mean to you?
It was huge. Yeah. We have a super competitive conference, and these guys are well known in the NCAA just field, like for being really good runners. And so I think to be able to make hard decisions and hard mental decisions in the race, and then be able to come out with a win was huge for me. It gave me a lot of confidence, and you know it wasn't easy. And so I think it was all the more satisfying. And some other races, you know, I'm able to get away with, you know, a nice, calm, easy race. And this one, I felt like I had to make a lot of different moves to cover pace, and it would slow down and then speed up. And so it was, I think, just as cool as some of my other wins and accomplishments.
How often does the fact that you ran in Paris and you were an Olympian come up in your day-to-day conversations, and certainly when you are at races like the Big 12 Championship?
Yeah, it definitely comes up pretty often, and I try to shoo it away when I'm at competitions because I don't want the pressure, but at the same time, recently I've been like, you know what? It's just something that happened. I'm okay with that. That sounds crazy, but I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh man, that just puts a bigger target on my back. But my teammates are always great about talking about how pressure is a privilege, and I've tried to welcome that. But I think it can be hard when I'm trying my best to do what I did last year, where I peak at the right time, and that often means that people are running much faster times and are much fitter early on, which I have to be okay with. But having, you know, a target on your back, knowing that you're the Olympian and maybe you're not at your peak yet is kind of a scary thought. So being patient with it is important, but it definitely comes up quite a bit from the announcers.
Have any students on campus in class brought it up with you, or are they just like, oh, that's my friend James in my whatever class?
Some of them don't know still. It's like
I would assume most don't know, right?
A superhero identity, yeah. And then randomly, I was in some coding class the other week or last semester, and my friend comes to class one day, and he's like, so my brother's a runner, And he told me all about you. He's like, what the heck, man? He's like, why didn't you say anything? And I'm like, what did you want me to lead with?
Way to bury the lead, James.
I don't just want it.
Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, I'll walk out of math class and some kid, like, loudly says, wait, didn't you go to the Olympics? And I'm like, oh, man. You know, like,
yeah, I was
around
in the stands. Wait.
I visited.
James Corgan, the Olympian, is well, with us on BYU Sports
Here's
Nation.
How I think. Here's how I would do it, like a backpack. Just, oh, yeah, you see the rings there? I wouldn't say it. I would just have it on me. Like, the guys that do USA stuff in any sport, they wear, like, the USA.
Yeah, you know right what I mean? On.
Yeah.
It's true. I do walk around with my USA backpack. Like, it says USA, so it's discreet enough. You don't see the rings. You're not sure if I bought it. You're not sure if I got it, you know?
So you're not Kenneth wearing a silver medal around town?
Kenneth is the last guy to be doing that. I kid.
He's at Chipotle going, your boy is here with the silver.
No, Kenneth is so understated. Speaking of him and having him as a mentor, I spoke with him recently, and he talked about how you train together, and there's just this elite crew that mm-hmm. is around, and the marathoners. It's wild that there's a group of Olympians at BYU that are just around and yeah. training. So what is that resource like for you to get you ready and keep you fit?
That's super comforting. I mean, I picture a lot of other people's situations, guys in the NCAA that leave and then try to go pro. And I say try because it's a difficult thing. And going pro doesn't always mean you're gonna be successful. And so having a huge support system where I still get to see those guys every single day, even though they've gone pro, and I get to interact with them, I can text them, is awesome. Because I feel like it takes out so much of the first time nerves and jitters that I have and allows me to just kind of hop right into elite running.
Okay, you're from Southern California, are you mm-hmm. not? Where again?
I just say Los Angeles. I'm like 5 minutes from the Hollywood sign.
So. L.A. guy.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
The Olympics in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
How awesome would that be to be in your
I'm
going to
be there. I'm excited. I have to be there for those. So, I mean, the idea that, you know, 20 minutes away, I could be running on a track from my house and, you know, my grandpa and all my family and all the little ones could watch would be pretty awesome. So
Is it the Coliseum or somewhere else?
Where yeah, I think they're going to make the Coliseum into a track on the inside there.
Wow.
So
very
that's
cool.
Legit,
like 84.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'm super Very excited cool. for that.
That's something to think about as you prepare for.
I'm sure you think about it every day.
Oh, yeah. I got a pin in that goal. It's put away, but I'm going to be there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Outstanding. Congratulations on the two Big 12 championships.
Nice work, James.
Best of luck at Nationals as well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll take that in stride.
The great James Corgan. In. If you see him in class, remind him that he was an Olympian.
Or at Chipotle. Join us this Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue featuring inspiring stories from Cougar football like Jake Retzloff, Tyler Batty, Connor Pay, and more. Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, how did multiple Cougars in the major leagues and the National Women's Soccer League fare this weekend? They made headlines, I can tell you that. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your Monday headline.
Bruce Feldman of The Athletic says he's taken the over on BYU. Win total of 7.5 games in 2025. He wrote, BYU will have 6 games of a clear advantage in Portland State, Stanford, ECU, Arizona, Cincinnati, and UCF, along with the trip to Boulder to face a Colorado team they smashed in the Alamo.
Let's go. BYU point guard Yegor Demin featured as the projected number 11 overall pick to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Rip City!
In ESPN's Jonathan Givony's post-NBA Combine mock draft this morning, Givony wrote, quote, Demin had a positive week at the Combine in Chicago, measuring bigger than expected.
You mean Chicago?
Yes, yes.
His damn laugh was so good, dude.
Then putting on one of the most impressive pro day performances we've seen in some time, causing even the most skeptical of NBA evaluators to acknowledge his undeniable talent, end quote. NBA draft will be held on June 25th and 26th in Brooklyn.
Baseball, we're in the final spot in this week's Big 12 tournament after winning 2 of 3 against Texas Tech in the final series of the regular season, where the Cougars finished 27-26, 10-20 in the Big 12. Up next, 12-seed Batcats first-round matchup in Arlington against 5-seed Arizona State on Wednesday. Also, this morning, the Big 12 announced the Big 12 baseball tournament is moving to Surprise Stadium, home of the Rangers and Royals in Surprise, Arizona.
Love it.
Beginning in 26. So we've got Kansas City in hoops, Arlington / Dallas in football, and now Surprise, Arizona in baseball.
I like it. I don't like it. Oklahoma, I love it.
Nice. Yeah. Oklahoma City in softball? Is that what
yep.
Nice.
BYU men's and women's track and field each took second place at the Big 12 Championships this weekend in Lawrence, Kansas.
Nice.
And Lawrence, Kansas. In total, BYU had five Big 12 champions. James Corgan won two of them. We just talked to him. Steeplechase in the 5K. Megan Hunter in the 800 meters. We'll hear from her in a bit. Lexi Halliday-Lowry, the 5K, and Ben Barton in the decathlon. Up next for the Cougars, NCAA West preliminaries beginning next Wednesday in College Station, Texas.
Cougars in the MLB. That's fun to say. We haven't said that much. History of the show. Daniel Schneeman started three games, had three hits, including his sixth homer of the season for the Guardians.
Let's go, Schnee.
This weekend against the Reds, he's now hit safely in five straight. Justin Stern has pitched 2 1/3 across two outings for the A's, giving up just one hit, striking out two, and two losses to the San Francisco Giants. He's only given up a run, it was five, in one game.
Yep.
Everything else, scoreless. Amazing.
Said one bad inning. That's it. Cougars in the National Women's Soccer League, featuring Brecken Mazingo, who scored her first career NWSL goal for the Utah Royals in the ninth minute against the Washington Spirit and Ashley Hatch on Saturday. 8 minutes later, aforementioned Ashley Hatch scored her fifth goal of the season, which ties her for second most in the NWSL this year. The Royals and Spirits match ended in a 3-3 draw. How often have two BYU players scored for opposite teams in the same game?
Is that the first time ever? That's pretty cool. Former men's volleyball opposite Gabby Garcia-Fernandez makes USA's preliminary Volleyball Nations League roster. Also former player and assistant coach Lucas Labe is an assistant coach on the team. And former Cougar player and head coach Chris McGowan is a consultant coach.
Let's keep this rolling. After the break, Big 12 champion Megan Hunter joins us in studio to recap running the third fastest 800 time in NCAA history en route to a Big 12 title. This is BYUSA. I just ran a really fast race.
Megan Hunter gets on her horse. She gallops across the finish line.
We've prepped a lot for this, and this whole season has just been a learning experience.
BYU Sports Nation continues live in Studio B, and we continue with our Big 12 champions on topic today, specifically Megan Hunter, who is now in the Cougar Council room.
Yeah, Megan Hunter's here. Let's go. Let's go.
Third fastest time in the 800 meters in NCAA history.
Kidding me?
And you win a Big 12 title in doing so. A lot happening there, Megan. So what was that performance like for you emotionally when you realized what you'd done?
Oh, it was so exciting. I love that it all kind of came together at conference. My first Big 12 here at BYU, I kind of blew up. It didn't go super well. And then this last indoor season, an injury flared up a couple days before leaving. And so I was excited to hopefully pull it all together at conference. And breaking 2 minutes, that's a big barrier that I've been going for a while. So, yeah, a lot of emotions. It was so fun to celebrate with my teammates after the race.
Sub 159, not just sub 2 minutes, sub 159. Even that.
So it's a school record. It's a meet record. It's a third outdoor ever 800. You think about all the people that have run the outdoor 800, third fastest. Which of those means the most to you?
I'm excited about all of them, but yeah, breaking 2 minutes, you know, that's kind of been on my mind. As I was recruited for BYU, I was more of a sprinter in high school. And talking to Coach Taylor, she was like, you're going to be an 800 runner and you're going to break 2 minutes. And
she informed you of this.
Yes, yeah. And that was 6 years ago now.
Wow.
So there have been a lot of challenges and obstacles between that. And so, yeah, having it all come together, that, yeah, meant a lot.
We just saw the kick in that race, Megan.
I think the play-by-play, she gallops to the finish.
What's going through your mind? Did you know, like, I'm close, I might do it?
Yeah. Going into the race, I told myself, like, it's going to be the day. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go for it. And you can see the time with 200 to go. And I saw the time and thought, okay, I still feel good. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to break 2 minutes. Like, how far under can I go? And so, yeah, that home stretch, I was just feeling strong and just, yeah, really excited to finish that race.
Tell us about the emotion there, what you're feeling in that moment.
Oh, man, that was, I don't know, just a lot of years of a lot of ups and downs and a lot of uncertainty and doubts. And so, yeah, just having it all come together was amazing. So
we've talked about it. There's an amazing story that people can watch online of your story and the car accident in Provo Canyon. From that moment to that moment, how did that happen? What did it take for you to get to the top of the mountain there?
It took a lot of learning, a lot of growth. I like to think I'm a better person now than I was a few years ago, just because of all the lessons that I've been able to learn. And there have been so many people that have helped me get there. You know, my coach has always believed in me, even when I feel like I've given her reasons not to. And my family has always been there supporting me, you know, through the good and the bad. And my team, they're just, yeah, they're incredible. You know, we're just always so excited for each other's success. And so, yeah.
Megan Hunter, champion of the Big 12 in the 800 meters, is on BYU Sports Nation.
Sounds good. I like the sound of that.
You've been pushing for sub two for so long. Now that it's done, how do you reformat what's next for you in that goal category and conversation?
Yeah, I was talking with Coach Taylor yesterday. I was like, you know, nothing really feels different. You know, I feel like I've had it in me for a while, and I try to focus on the process goals instead of the outcome. And so the process, it's still going to feel the same. You know, the process goals are still going to be the same. And it's exciting that, you know, the outcome looks a little different now. And yeah, hopefully I can crack down and kind of, keep improving on those outcome times. But yeah, really the process, I think, is going to keep looking the same through the rest of the season.
That's interesting, because when you round that corner, you're way out in front. When do you realize, okay, it's not about me winning this race, it's about me doing my personal best in this process, which happens to be an amazing situation?
Yeah, during a race, like, I just do my best to stay smooth, relaxed, and focused. Those are kind of the key words that I tell myself. And so I visualize a lot of different scenarios of how the race is going to play out. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to be leading the whole thing or, you know, closing in on people that last 200. So I just kind of played those different scenarios, but knew no matter what, I was just going to need to be focused on how I felt and what I was doing, just staying smooth and as relaxed as I could be.
Would you say smooth, clear, and focused?
Yeah, smooth, relaxed and focused.
How do you relax in the 800?
Oh yeah, you know, that's something we're working on. I have this signature move where I bobble my head back and forth, so we're trying to kind of keep the body a little more relaxed.
You look like you're working hard though. You're like, I want this. That's what it looks like to me.
I wouldn't fault you at all for not feeling relaxed in the 800.
Also, who are we to comment on anything with your running? But your dad works in biomechanics at BYU.
Right.
And he has for a long time, which is like how the body moves, you were telling me during the break.
Uh-huh.
How has he personally helped you? Because he's not one of your coaches, but certainly he can weigh in terms of the science of it.
Yeah, I feel like he's done a really great balance of like being there for me when I need him, but letting my coaches and staff do their job. But he does a lot of research on running footwear and form for distance. And so we've done some different analysis, and it's
been really helpful. So he hasn't said anything
about the... it's a little unusual, but yeah, we're working on it.
So if I need to ask you what the best running shoe is or walking shoe, could you give an informed opinion on such, or should I seek your dad for that?
Yeah, ask my dad. Ask my dad about that.
Very good. Megan Hunter is on BYU Sports Nation. Your team finished second at the Big 12 Championships, compiled a lot of points. So I know everybody wants to win and you want a Big 12 team championship, but notably, this is a loaded BYU track and field program, men's and women's. So what did the second place finish mean for you, and how does that motivate you moving forward?
Yeah, it's exciting. We were hoping for the win, but excited with second. And it was so fun to just kind of keep track of how everyone was doing throughout the meet and really cheering each other on. It just kind of adds to the excitement for how everyone's doing and how everyone's placing.
How are you feeling about NCAAs? You got the West prelims coming up in College Station, as we talked about a moment ago.
Yeah, I'm excited. Just looking at how everyone can do. It's really exciting. And yeah, I think the next couple of weeks we're just going to do our best to know that, like, yeah, there are big things that we can do. But yeah, we just got to stay humble and keep working, keep the process the same, because yeah, it's been working.
All right, you just ran in Lawrence, Kansas. What were the conditions like, and were they the most ideal for you? Like, did you wake up like, this is the perfect weather day? Like, can you if you could manifest something for College Station, would it be what you had in Lawrence?
Yeah, there was a lot of wind during the the entire Big 12 championships. The prelim day there, yeah, there was a ton of wind.
So not
during
great.
Warming up, it was kind of all over the place. But actually, in the final, the wind had died down. It was a little hot. We had our ice vests warming up. But yeah, honestly, can't complain at all about the conditions. Yeah, the wind had died down. And yeah, hoping for something similar in College Station. I was looking at the weather this week, and there's a lot of lightning and thunderstorm, so yeah. But if it happens, everyone's in those conditions.
You got to do it.
So it's great.
How does humidity play into what you prefer or not? Because College Station could be thick out there.
Yeah, it could be thick. At all of our Texas meets, as soon as we get off the airplane, it just feels like we're hit with a sauna. But yeah, we're doing our best to, you know, get ready for that with our sauna training and paying attention to kind of when we're doing our workouts throughout the day. So I think we'll be ready for whatever the humidity brings.
So you guys
us.
Go in a sauna to train for humidity?
Is that we do. Yeah.
You said sauna training. Are you doing something there?
No.
You're just sitting there.
Yeah, some people, I go in there and they're doing ab workouts. Or I've heard of people bringing in a stationary
an
bike.
An ab workout in a sauna?
But no, yeah, that's
both of those sound terrible.
Yeah.
Megan, congratulations again on breaking two.
That's awesome.
158.99.
Let's go.
You broke 159. Incredible stuff. So fun to watch. And good luck at prelims and nationals.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Megan. If you miss any interview shows, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
After the break, a special rise and shout out to a milestone worth celebrating. We'll explain all of it. This is a monumental day for this show on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day.
3,000th episode.
On episode 3,000.
Yeah, I love you.
BYU Sports Nation.
I love you, 3,000.
Saved it for the last. But we got to get some housekeeping items taken care of, including answering the question of the day with our elite response. What would overachieving look like for BYU football in 2025? At not Stanley 4330 says, overachieving would be winning a college football playoff game. BYU still has never made one of the New Year's Six BCS or College Football Playoff bowl games, so that's a glass ceiling that needs to be shattered.
Yeah,
wouldn't
I like
just
that.
Getting there qualify? They've never done that.
Yeah, getting there's pretty good.
Okay,
let's be honest.
Okay,
well, if you're there, let's win. Let's go.
All right, now today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Today is the balloons. 3,000th episode of BYU Sports Nation. The over-under was like 1,000, so we've overachieved, speaking of. So apparently we got, it's not a cake, it's even better than that. So our friend that doesn't have a name, the Cougar Tail mascot is here with the Cougar Tail 3,000 on it.
That candles
let's go,
and
let's
everything?
Go blow it out. Yeah.
Are you kidding
let's
me?
Let's go blow it out.
All right.
I assume we're walking over here to do this.
Wait, you're
be gentle.
You're,
we don't want to spit on it because we want to share it. Hey, look, 1, 2, 3.
That is a massive donut right there.
That's like, this is what, two? Two and a half? I don't know.
Oh, that's bigger.
How are we doing in there?
Typically,
we good?
The Cougar Tail is 18 inches long. Oh, so, maple bar no. Donut. That's bigger.
Mega Cougar Tail.
All right. Okay. Should we do it on three?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right. 3,000 episodes.
Yeah, 3,000 episodes. Woo! Let's hope for like 100 more.
Cougar
yeah.
Tail, maple yeah. bar donut
thank you.
For everybody.
Thank you. Let's go. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's bring it over here.
Are you taking it to the desk?
All right. We're going back.
Jerem's taking it to the desk.
We haven't talked it. We got gaff tape out here. We haven't talked it.
The Cougar Tail mascot just doing his thing. Holy cow. Well, there is one other thing that we need
thanks
to do.
Thanks for coming in. Sean okay. Farnham's in the Cougar Tail. Matt. No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
So, fun fact, maybe 9, 10 years ago, when we initially
14 or 15?
Celebrated yeah. countdown to whatever team BYU football was playing that
I
year.
Say it was UConn.
Okay, so countdown 2014? To the Huskies was the first one. Did we do the
we kept
pomp
doing it for
and
another
circumstance
year or two,
and
yeah.
all of the streamers and everything for that?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
There was confetti hanging in the rafters.
For years.
For a better part of a decade.
So my goal is to see what we can do there. I know Ben told me to aim it sideways.
We have been told not to celebrate by exploding these into the rafters.
So I'm going right into your face.
So let's do it. Okay?
3, 2, 1.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Oh, I shot it backwards, and luckily it didn't hit me.
You shot it
I shot it down. I shot it down.
You were told
that. Hey. Hey,
play Careless Whisper.
I'm done having kids, but that was real close. Wow. I felt that grace on the side of my leg. That could have been real bad on live TV.
Almost 12 years.
Man.
In all seriousness.
Hey, yeah, this is my... Well, let's just... I'm telling you, there was a tender mercy there just a moment ago. I'm feeling pretty lucky.
Don't hurt yourself,
please. We started this show in 2013, and here we are in 2025. Thank you for watching. Thank you for everyone who's been involved behind the scenes. We love this. This is awesome. Thank
you. We love you, 3,000.
Thank you.
Right?
Awesome. Yeah.
And we had to have a 3,000-meter steeplechase winner on
yes,
the show,
Yes, we did.
Too.
Very. Hey.
That's James Corden.
That's great scheduling by Colton Potter. Good luck to Colton, by the way. He's going on paternity leave. Best of luck. He and his wife expecting a baby soon.
Our thanks to today's guests, James Corgan and Megan Hunter.
Sorry to Dennis.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Michael Miner. Go Cougs.